Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to episode 89 of Geektown Radio. In a week that it seems that orange really is the new black, we're back with Mike.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I think I'm okay. I have this sudden urge to build a vault of my own in the back garden and stock up on
some sort of
food.
Bunker.
Yeah. It's kind of like the start of Fallout.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just life going on as normal, but in the background, the televisions are saying terrible things.
Yeah.
The door rang a bit earlier. And I was half expecting it to be a Vault Tech person telling me that I'd been selected, but he wasn't. I think this is Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, God. Nearly as bad. Yeah. Yes, so which we're going to try and not talk about any of the craziness that's been going on for the last couple of days, and try and be impartial and just ignore it and make it a sanctuary away from all that stuff. So, what have you been doing this week then?
So I finished watching the second season of Narcos eventually.
Oh yeah, cool.
It's taken me a while to get through it. Basically, I've just been around and about a lot, so. But yeah, I finished watching that. Very good. Not as good as the first season.
No, I think that's fair.
I think there was more focus on the bad guys as well this time. So I think the first season was a sort of 50-50 split between the two.
Yeah.
But really, it wasn't that, you know, the sort of the narcotics agents and that whole sort of US part of it was a much smaller,
yeah,
much smaller thing. But they were, I suppose, less entertaining.
Yes. I think that's fair.
So, yeah. So that was good. I'm also, it's only once a week, so it's still coming out, but the Lucifer second series.
Oh, yeah.
Following that still.
So good.
It is so good, and it's so light, though, still. I mean, even
yes.
the sort of the story arc in the second season is a bit darker.
Yeah.
You know, he's killed his brother for a start.
Yeah.
But it's still quite light. It's still light-hearted.
Yeah.
Police,
yes,
you know, police drama.
I know what you mean.
With this stuff going on as well, it's just funny. It's just good. And fair play, second season's as good as the first, if not better.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah.
No. What else? Oh, computer games. So
yes.
I said before that I thought that I was no longer a gamer, maybe because I was really struggling with games.
Yeah. I remember.
So I made a discovery that I could stream my Xbox to my laptop.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and that's made all the difference because now I've got more time. I can put myself away in the corner and ignore the family around me, and plug the controller into the laptop. And it's been a real discovery because I was thinking about upgrading my laptop because my laptop, I think I bought it when Mass Effect 3 came out.
Right.
So it's knocking on. You know?
Yeah.
We're getting towards the bottom end of what I can play.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking now I'm not going to upgrade the laptop. I'm going to stick with the Xbox.
Yeah, and just
stream stuff to it because I think it probably could be better if I had a slightly better Wi-Fi network, but it works really well.
Yeah.
It works really well. So I've been playing, I still haven't finished The Witcher. I'm kind of giving up on that.
Yeah.
I know you said
I know, I'm going to go back to it as well. I haven't finished
it. Yeah, it's lost me a bit. But I'm sort of well into Fallout now, which I'd kind of given up on as well, but I'm back into that. I've also been, we mentioned Star Trek Online.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's so enjoyable now.
You know, I had I had a text from your wife going, I'm sat at home watching Star Trek online on our TV. I blame you entirely.
Yeah, I blamed you as well.
Thanks. Okay.
Well, the funny thing about that game is, and they're still bringing it up to the same place that the PC version is at. So I think they're, you know, the duty officer bit that they added ages ago on the PC. Well, they're just about to introduce that on the Xbox.
Oh, right. Okay.
So there's bits missing. There's bits that aren't quite the same. But they've simplified it.
Yeah.
So you've got like lots of controls, a full keyboard full of controls, which they've managed to fit into a gamepad.
Wow.
But it's made it more fun, I think. So things are a little bit more automated.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you can set a lot of your abilities to go off automatically when certain conditions are met.
Right, okay, yeah.
But that's kind of made it more fun, and you can sort of dip in and out of it without forgetting what different things do a bit more.
Yeah.
So I've got like an Admiral already, and it's fun. And considering it's free, I have not spent a penny.
You can do with that game.
You'd be
thing
crazy
about
not to just try it out, I would say.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
You know, it's definitely last generation, or even the generation before that, in terms of, you know, quality of graphics and gameplay and things.
Yeah.
But the space stuff still looks really good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I think they've improved. I read somewhere that they'd improved some of that.
I think they did. I think
so
they tarted
stuff still
it
looks
all
pretty
up a
bad.
Bit, yeah.
Not bad, but not so good. But the space stuff looks amazing.
Yeah.
So what else have we been doing? Oh, the other thing is I reinstalled Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Right,
yeah. And this is partly me trying to get back the gaming mojo. And I'm sort of nearly finished Mass Effect 2.
Mm.
It's brilliant. It still looks good.
Yeah,
it still looks good. And I got so excited. I'm now really excited about Andromeda.
Yeah,
and the trailer. Have you seen the trailer?
Yes,
the new trailer. Yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm really sort of pumped up for that now. I know it's like after Christmas, like February or something. I think that's
I'm surprised they've not managed to rush it out beforehand because, you know.
I think they've learned that lesson, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think it's not stopped them usually, but. No.
Well, yeah, then having to release a free update with like a ton of content in to keep everyone happy.
Yeah.
I think people can wait.
Yeah.
I can wait as long as they do a good job of it.
Yeah, no,
I'm
absolutely.
Happy to wait.
I'm with you.
But it looks so good.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. So that's kind of Mass Effect has been the thing that I've been playing probably the most.
Cool.
Which proper retro. Mass Effect, Star Trek Online. Oh, hang on a minute.
Back to your gaming roots.
Back to my gaming roots. So yeah, I've got my gaming mojo back, but
good.
I think I've become a console gamer.
You're sort of streaming through the PC though. So.
Yeah, not all the time, but a lot of the time, so that, you know, I can sit in the same room as my family sometimes. It's nice. It's nice to do that.
I suppose that's a good thing.
I'm led to believe it's good for family cohesion.
All right.
And, you know, less psychiatry bills as the children get older.
Yeah, well, yes. If it saves you money, it's worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and it will save me money because an Xbox is damn sight cheaper than a gaming laptop, right?
Well, that is true. Yes.
So that, I think, yeah, my PC gaming days might be over.
Dun, 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 dun,
which I said would never happen because the PC was the master race. I'm just one of many things that I've gone back on, the things that I've always said I would or wouldn't do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still PC gaming at the moment, and I'm still my sort of, you know, platform of choice just because I can't shoot anything on a laptop.
That's a worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, that's a worry.
I mean, on a console, that is a problem.
Yeah, so I've been really tempted by Battlefield, and like, ooh, it's like I just know that I just get...
Yeah, you get
killed.
Slaughtered by a 10-year-old child.
I can't handle a Witcher on easy, so... What direction am I facing?
Oh my God.
It's eerie like that. So.
The other reason that I'm sticking to PC gaming for the moment is the thing I've been playing most recently is Civilization. Civilization 6 came out.
Oh, yeah, I saw a screenshot that you posted of Victoria of England.
Yes.
Yeah, I do fancy that. I did used to love games like that, but the problem is they're real time soaks, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's you know, start it at like sort of 7 o'clock in the evening and then look at the clock and it's 12.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, crap.
Yeah, that was the kind of game that I used to do a lot of. And I don't know that I'd have that. I don't know. It's kind of like the equivalent of, you know, mobile app games that you're just doing all the time, I suppose.
It is difficult. You do end up getting completely sucked into it, and it is such a time sink.
It's not like a a high specification required for playing a game like that, is there? Because I'm thinking I could probably get that on my work PC, work laptop, and take it with me when I go
maybe,
places.
Yeah, maybe. It's that would not, be awesome. No, it's not that high, I don't think. So it's worth having a look.
Yeah.
Run the...
not that if anyone's listening that I work with, I would put
a
game on my
of course
laptop.
You wouldn't. yeah.
But yeah, that, I mean, I really fancy games like that still. Mm. I look at them, I think, because that just looked, and it brought back all those memories because nothing has really changed about the way these games work. And I just thought it looks really good.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the only game I've really been obsessively playing recently. I mean, I've got to go back to Mafia, and I've got to go back to some other things as well.
Mafia looks okay.
Yeah. It's all right. I was sort of enjoying it, but it does get a bit repetitive. And Matt, who does the podcast as well, has been playing further on it and has actually ended up putting it down because, you know, he says it's good, it's fun, it's like a sort of budget version of GTA and looks beautiful.
And that's how I always find GTA games. I get so far in and then I get a bit... Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe the difficulty scale goes up a bit and... Mm. I can't do it. But then I think,
really,
why am I
showing
even
your age?
I was going to say, well, talk about show my age. I was thinking that the last Civilization game that really hooked me, I think, was Civ 2.
Wow. Yeah, you are going back a bit there.
Yeah, is that the Amiga or something like that?
Probably, yes. Christ. So, yes, that gaming wise, that's what I've been doing. TV Legends of Tomorrow started again this week. Which is really good. We've now got all four of the DC shows back on air. Are you been following any of those?
No. Pokemon XY has been on my television a lot.
Ah, the man with children. Legends, I really, really enjoyed it. It's interesting to see some of the shows, like particularly Supergirl, to see how it's changed this season as well because of the fact that it's moved from... the base in LA, it's now moved to Vancouver.
I was trying to get my kids into that. I thought, Phoebe, she's into her superheroes, but I just couldn't. She just, for some reason, just wasn't taken to it. I made her watch it. She loves the Avengers, but she just wasn't. I don't know. Maybe it's too clean cut. I don't know.
maybe.
I don't know.
Not enough evil unicorns in it. That's what it is.
No, she went to a party as an evil clown that looks surprisingly like Harlequin.
She's such your child. next week, we have got an interview coming up next week with a guy called Malin Todd Williams. He's the director of photography for Legends of Tomorrow. So just a heads up, that will be coming next week. We've got some more interviews coming up with some of the behind-the-scenes stuff of people out of the various DC shows as well. So those are things to look forward to. Also started this week, which dropped onto Netflix, was The Expanse, which I don't know whether you've heard anything about this. It's a sci-fi, it runs on Sci-Fi US.
No,
it's a Sci-Fi US show.
I don't think so.
It's sort of, how do you describe it? It's basically a big space opera. It's sort of their version of...
Yes.
It's kind of them trying to do Game of Thrones in space almost.
Yeah. I'm sure I've seen something about that. But a while ago. I mean, how long has it been out?
No, it's been... It came out, I think, last year.
Yeah,
I think it's been a while. But the first season has now landed on Netflix UK. I think they're going to get the second season as well when that comes out later next year, assuming.
I'll be all over that. Probably tonight then.
Yeah, it's worth watching. It's
I've got Narcos out the way.
Yeah.
I've got a gap in my itinerary.
But yeah, go and watch The Expanse. It's basically set in with the human population having populated the Sol system. So you've got a bunch of people that are on Mars, you've got people that are on Earth, and you've got people that are in one of the asteroid belts, which they refer to as belters. And it's basically a war for resources over those three factions. And it's sort of, there is a peace at the moment.
Asteroid belt dwellers always get a raw deal in sci-fis.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like books and everything. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, they're always, it seems, the kind of hick redneck kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's that sort of thing. But It's really well put together. There's it's got Thomas Jane in it, who was once Punisher at one point. But it's got him in it, who plays like a space cop, who's slightly shady and is sort of investigating various crimes on one of the stations. But it's really well put together. They've obviously spent quite a bit of money on it. So it looks really good. The storyline you've got to concentrate to kind of follow, because it does, like Game of Thrones, it sort of jumps around from there's this going on over here, there's that going on over
there. Characters then.
Quite a few characters, yeah. There's three or four different plot threads going on at the same time.
What's the style of it? So in terms of, it's sci-fi, right?
But it's sci-fi. It's relatively serious sci-fi as
well.
No, but
I mean, what kind of, so are they, is it like Star Trek? Is it?
No, it's it's Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, it's kind of Battlestar Galactica-esque. Okay. It's more that kind of, slightly realistic.
More realistic.
Yeah, more realistic based. Okay.
That sounds good. I'll try that.
But it got great reviews for the first season. It is worth watching, but it does take a bit of concentration.
Are you suggesting I can't concentrate?
As if. No, it's called having two children. So yeah, that's one to recommend. That's The Expanse. It's on Netflix. Humans as well, back for its second episode, which has been going really well. I've been really enjoying that. I don't know whether you've caught any of those yet.
No, but I saw your documentary, Dave.
My starring 15 minutes of fame. Well, 15 seconds of fame. Yes. No. That's back. Second episode went out. It's as good as the first season.
I saw the first season, but I was late to it.
Right.
So okay. I was watching it on catch up, basically, constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah.
Doing something else.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So there's that. Walking Dead, obviously, it's on its third episode now. Get to see what happened to Daryl after the events of the first episode and a slight detour to visit Ezekiel and people at the kingdom. So
I still don't know whether I've asked this question before, but. Yeah. Zombies, right? So how long has this been going on for in real terms? Not our terms, but in series terms. How long have they been?
I'm not sure.
Wandering from place to place, finding a place that seems really safe and then finding out that it's not safe at all and then having to flee it.
I think it's a few years. I don't think it's like decades.
Bodies decompose relatively quickly.
Yeah, I think it's only supposed to be a few years. And that is the point. Eventually, you could potentially wait it out and the bodies will just all decompose.
Yeah.
So,
because they were looking pretty minging in like season three.
Yeah. So I think it's supposed to be in a couple of years, two or 3 years, but I'm not sure. So I'm sure somebody that knows more about The Walking Dead will be able to give you an answer to that.
I'd be fine in my bunker in the garden with kitchen food.
Yeah.
It's happening, right? It's happening.
It is like the third thing on the zombie
Brexit.
Apocalypse.
Brexit, Trump. Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it's the third thing on the zombie apocalypse list. There's that. Extended episode next week as well. We actually get to see Negan turn up at Alexandria and demand his share. So it's an extended 85-minute episode next week.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Something to look forward to. You can also catch me weekly on the Walking Dead podcast, which you can find on entertainmenttalk.org, apart from not for this week, because we're recording this when I'm normally recording that. Yeah, but don't worry, it's fine.
Sorry.
There's that. Also on Netflix started this week, The Crown, which is Peter Morgan's new series about the royal family.
Yeah, won't be watching that.
It's No, I didn't expect you would be. But it is very good. It's Peter Morgan. It's got Matt Smith playing Prince Philip, which is... he actually does a really good job of it as well. Yeah.
It's kind of tall and awkward looking.
Yeah, it's already ordered for six seasons. Each season takes...
That's insane.
Yeah. Each season takes 10 years, with each episode taking around a year, but they're messing with the time a little bit.
I know seasons can get cancelled, but that's quite a big buy up front, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, it's just it's Peter Morgan, though. You know, it's the guy behind Frost Nixon. It's the guy behind, you know, The Deal and the Queen. So, you know, they obviously assumed that he knew that he could write it. And
yeah, okay. I don't know. There's an audience for that stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it is. It's very good. But yes, it's not going to be for everybody. But yes, I really enjoyed the first couple of episodes. It's worth looking at.
You're watching it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I like Peter Morgan's stuff, though.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
So there's that. Blacklist returned as well, which is great. Mm-hmm. So just more of the same sort of stuff, but the Blacklist is back. There's a spin-off series for that coming as well, which I don't think has got a UK pickup yet.
Not heard about that.
Spin-off series, it's called Blacklist Redemption, stars Famke Janssen, that's it. Yeah, as Scotty Hargrave, who was the head of the Grey Matter, which was like a covert military mercenary company.
That sounds quite good.
That popped up at the end of the last season, and Ryan Eggold, who plays Tom Keane, who is wife to Liz Keane. Husband to Liz Keane. And it's going to be the two of them, basically, yeah, as the lead, with Famke playing the sort of red character to Tom Keane's kind of Liz character.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of dynamic.
It sounds
again.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, it should be. I love the main series. It should be quite a good spin-off. Yeah. So. But
give that a try.
That I don't think has got a UK pickup yet, I don't think. But I'd be surprised if it goes somewhere other than Sky Living, seeing as they've got the main series.
Yeah.
You know,
the audience is already there.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that came back recently was Life in Pieces, which is comedy on Amazon Prime. And I love it. It's basically about a family of three generations, the grandparents, the parents, and children, all of one family. There's three kids, if I remember correctly, who are sort of our kind of generation, maybe a bit younger, married,
what about
with grown-up children.
A bit younger, in their 20s, actually.
No, not quite that young. No. So they're sort of our kind of age. And they're married, and they've got sort of grown-up children, as some of the grown-up children as well, right. And or, you know, 18-year-old kids. And Colin Hanks plays one of the kids in it, or one of the adults in it.
Yeah.
But it's just brilliantly written, and it's really just random stories about this character, about these various characters.
Yeah.
It's structured by setting them up into like three or four short stories, which focus on one particular group within the family.
Yeah.
Because there's three kids that are couples. There's the grandparents who are another couple, and there's the children who are, you know, I think there's three kids as well. So there's it will focus on one particular area of the family. And sometimes the stories will slightly interlock, sometimes they won't. Okay. But it's a comedy. It's half an hour long. It's just brilliantly put together. It's very, very funny.
Is it the sort of thing that can replace Cold Feet in my life?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, it is. It's American sitcom, kind of. Yeah. You know, but done to a decent quality and well written. But I really enjoy it. It's worth watching. It's laugh out loud funny,
I'll give it a try then.
Yeah.
I'll give it a try.
But that's Life in Pieces. It's on Amazon Prime right now. It's good. The entire first season's on there. Second season is going on each week.
Can I just say, you essentially sold Amazon Prime to me, and it has been one of the best purchases.
It is. Amazon Prime's great.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing, right? Yeah. Not just the free deliveries, other online shows. Shops are available,
but as good as Amazon Prime.
It's amazing, right? I'm really impressed with it.
Yeah,
I'm really impressed with it.
It's great. As I say, if you're a Sky customer but don't find you're using Sky all that much, apart from for one or two different things, you're better off getting an OTV box, a Amazon
totally
Prime
right.
subscription, and a Netflix subscription.
Exactly,
it's far cheaper,
do.
And you'll get the same sort of stuff.
That would be exactly what I'll do. As soon as the kids stop needing to watch Cartoon Network, I will cancel. I don't need it. It's just, you know, Cartoon Network is the only reason I have Sky. The only reason. Find me somewhere else I can get Cartoon Network, and I'm on it.
I'm not sure.
Looked. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But it's a much, if you've got a reasonable broadband connection anyway, it's a much better system.
And there's a lot of 4K stuff as well.
Yeah, a lot of 4K stuff if you've got 4K TV. Yeah. A lot of 4K stuff on Amazon as well.
Yeah.
But and just there's a really good selection of shows. The Amazon original shows are starting to get really good as well.
Yeah.
Not quite up to the level of the Lucifer. Netflix stuff.
And Lucifer. Which I completely wouldn't have seen.
Yeah, and Lucifer, which is brilliant.
And we're what, a couple of weeks away, a week away, 2 weeks away from Top Gear? When's Top Gear?
A couple of weeks away from Top Gear, so that's due soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I was pretending I wasn't, but now I am.
Yeah, lots of stuff to look forward to at the moment, but I think now we should move on to film and TV news. So a couple of quick stories for film and TV news this week. First one is for Arrow. They've announced that they've cast Talia al Ghul in Arrow. But the interesting thing is we're going to be played by Lexa Dong, who is pretty well known to anybody that's watched any sci-fi, I would have thought.
Yeah.
So she's Canadian. She's probably best known for Andromeda, but has also appeared in Stargate SG-1. She's Canadian, after all. Eureka, she's been in Supernatural. She was in V. She was in Smallville. She was in that short-lived American Primeval spin-off called New World. She appeared in Continuum. Most recently, she was in Saving Hope. Basically, anything that's kind of Canadian drama.
That's pretty much anything.
Yeah. Canadian sort of sci-fi drama. She's been in it. Yeah, she's playing Talia. We've had Nyssa on the show. We've had Raz on the show. Talia is probably, to comic book readers, she'll be the better known. I think they used her in the last movie as well. The last of the Chris Nolan movies had Talia in it, I think. She was sort of revealed as masquerading as a board member of Wayne Enterprises, I believe.
Blends into one.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And obviously they use Raz in the movies. But yeah, they've had Nyssa and they've had Raz on the TV show. Talia is best known probably as associated with Batman in the comic books because she became a sort of on-off love interest and she's mother to Damian, who is the most awesome Robin that they've had because he's just sarcastic, slightly evil, because he was trained by the League of Assassins.
Yeah.
But he's Robin. I love that. Damian Wayne, he's such a great character. Just really well done. That when they had a point where Dick Grayson was playing Batman and Damian was playing Robin, and it slightly flipped the roles over because Dick Grayson was obviously, you know, Robin and more quippy and
a bit more cheesy.
So he kind of had a lighter Batman to him, and Robin was much darker because he's this kid that was trained by the League of Assassins, and he doesn't see any reason why you shouldn't be able to kill the bad guys.
It's quite good though, isn't it?
Which is great, and he's so well written. I think it was Grant Morrison that introduced him, or it was certainly popularized in the Grant Morrison run anyway. But that's a great run of the books, that Grant Morrison Batman Robin series. So yeah, I don't think we're going to see any Bat family arrive on the show, but she is far more, Talia is far more associated with Batman than she is with Green Arrow.
Okay.
But then Arrow has liberally borrowed from Batman over the seasons. I think it's no great surprise that she's now showing up. As to exactly how she's going to be used, I don't really know. She's just described as an elite warrior who doesn't pick sides, but rather creates her own.
So it could be a massively off-canon version.
But that doesn't surprise me because...
You're far more into your comic books than I am. And does that bother you?
With the DC TV shows, no, because... I mean, they have a habit of gender switching some of the characters or introducing slightly different things. And the way I look at it is it's a multiverse.
You can always fall back on that, I suppose.
You know, there is a version where, you know, it is a multiverse. So you've got one version of Earth that has all these versions of the characters in it.
I remember I was reading some reviews of Lucifer, and there were some people, most people think it's amazing, but there were one or two people who are obviously fans of
the comics
really didn't like it.
Yeah, no,
because he's too lightweight and he's too nice. And
the thing with Lucifer, I've never read the Lucifer comic books, but as I'm told, it's very, very different to the comic books. Whereas the essence of the characters are kind of there with the DC shows generally.
Yeah.
They kind of changed Lucifer quite a lot for the TV show.
And probably widened the audience massively by doing
probably.
It.
I mean, and I think that's exactly why they did it. But, with most of the DC shows, the general essence of the characters is still there. Yeah, so I don't have a huge issue with it when they switch things around.
I need to get onto those shows, don't I? I need to sort myself out.
I mean, Arrow's good. It's better this season. Last season was a bit of a drag. Flash is the one that I would highly recommend.
I've seen a few of those.
They are really good.
Yeah, they do look good.
It's very, very well written. Supergirl's okay.
Supergirl felt like a kid's program.
The demographic is a little bit lower. That's for the first season, though. Second season, I think, it's gelling a lot better with...
It felt like a young adult.
Yeah.
Or even younger than that adult program.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It feels a bit tween in places, and that
like it would fit on Nickelodeon or something.
Yeah, you know? Maybe. I mean, that first season was possibly a bit.
I've seen enough of those programs. I don't need to watch those kind of programs voluntarily.
Yeah, first season was possibly a little bit like that, but
and it lost me, and I think that kind of
second season. Obviously, it changed networks in the US.
Yeah,
so. Second season, I think it's going to gel. It gels a bit more. Having seen the first couple of episodes of that, it does gel a little bit more with the rest of the DC shows now. So,
fair enough.
You know, and I think Legends Tomorrow is great fun. A lot of time traveling stuff, and you know, it's a good laugh.
Seen a few of those as well. Yeah. I think I've said it reminded me a bit of Sliders.
I know there is a certain element of that. Yeah,
but yeah, that looked okay. I just need to watch enough to understand that whole story arc rather than just an episode at a time.
Yes, I know what you mean.
But it's where to start. If there's all these series that I'm seriously behind on, where do you think I should start?
I mean, Arrow was the first one that came out, but I think Flash is the better show.
Right.
So I'd possibly start with Flash. There's nothing that means you need to see stuff in Arrow.
No.
I would start with Flash, personally. Yeah, and then if you like that and you watch that, maybe go and watch Arrow afterwards.
Yeah. All right.
But I would start with Flash.
I'll do that and I'll report back.
Okay. talking about other DC shows, Gotham, which is still not on over here. That's due back in the new year. But they've cast somebody from Banshee, Ivana Milkovich, I think is her name. She was from the TV show Banshee. They've cast her as Selena Kyle's mother. Selena Kyle is obviously a young girl on the TV
Milicevic.
Show. Milicevic. I don't know. But they've cast her as Selena Kyle's mother. So she's going to be joining the show. She's described as a tough as nails operative with an arsenal of street smarts and a world-class drifter who's able to hide her true self behind a variety of personas.
Much like yourself, Dave.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, she's also a criminal, which sort of explains where Selena has got it to a certain extent. But it turns out that her major weakness is Selena, despite the fact that she abandoned her when she was a little girl.
It's great parenting.
So, yes, fantastic parenting.
More time on the Xbox, though.
I think you might get in trouble for just abandoning them in the middle of a city somewhere and... letting them fend for themselves.
I'll probably get a bill for damages.
Probably having taken over the entire area of Birmingham or something. So yes, it could be interesting. It's always interesting when they introduce new characters, particularly as they're kind of non-canon spin-off characters when they're like that. But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to this show coming back. It was first season went through a bit of a rough patch in the middle, but really picked up towards the end. It is worth going to have another look at if you kind of watched a couple of episodes and dropped out of it.
Yeah, I did that too.
Yeah,
that's another one. I think it sounded good, and then it felt a bit.
It does drag a bit in the middle of that first season, but it really does pick up.
Okay,
and it's worth going back and looking at again. The second season was really good.
My time is precious. I need things to be happening.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It is a pain when you get shows like that.
There's a lot of stuff on Netflix and Amazon that I've started and not finished.
Yeah.
There's the list of things I'm halfway through that suggest that I've finished. It's
like, yeah. No, I know what you mean. So there's that. Gotham season 3 is due to air on Channel 5 early in the new year. No exact date for it yet. And finally, CBS have announced they are developing a Big Bang spin-off based around a young Sheldon Cooper.
Now, I have said many, many times that I hate young versions of anything, like young Indiana Jones, Superman, all that. I hate that. But this does sound really funny.
As I said on the post when I put it on the website, I'm not entirely sure whether this is a work of genius or like a Joey-esque size like mistake, but who knows? I mean, it's the idea is that it will be set around a young Sheldon Cooper growing up in Texas, he with his twin sister, his elder brother, and his slightly balmy and evangelical Christian mother Mary, played by Laurie Metcalf on the show currently. So, I mean, it could be quite entertaining. It's quite a good setup of having somebody who's highly intelligent set in that sort of environment. Yeah. And, you know, they know the character very well, so I can sort of see why they would go down that route. But I don't know. It's only in early development at the moment. We'll have to see how far they get with it.
It depends how much the character of Sheldon that everybody likes and thinks he's funny is down to...
Yes.
Is it down to the writing or is it down to the acting?
Yeah.
Because acting, then...
Yeah. Jim Parsons is attached as an exec producer. So you can imagine if they are going to cast somebody as a young version of him, he's going to have some say in it.
Yeah, you think.
So, and from the network's point of view, you can sort of see why they want to do it, because the three main lead characters being Jim Parsons and Kelly Cuoco and Johnny Gatlick, those three are said to be on $1 million an episode.
Yeah.
The Simon Helberg and Kunal Nayar are both on around about half that.
There's got to be a point where shows like that, doesn't matter how popular they are.
Yeah. And then Melissa Ranch and Miyaka Blanik are on 100K per episode, which is
that
slightly
all?
Important.
I feel sorry for those guys.
Yeah, you know. but there is something. I mean, that's because they joined later and there were later additions to the cast. The problem is that you are probably, if they renew it or the contracts come up for renewal and if they want another season, not only have you got to renegotiate the three big star names, you've also going to probably have to renegotiate everybody else's, and they're going to want a bit more parity in the pay at that point.
Yeah, correct.
So everything is going to go up
quite a lot.
Well, that's sort of what happened last time, apparently, was specifically with the girls. Mm-hmm. They basically said, we want more money to be in line with the others. And the writers said, well, we'll kill you off then. And they went, all right then, allegedly. So I don't know. But this would give them an opportunity to be able to carry on the Big Bang thing.
Yeah,
with a younger and less expensive cast.
Try it for a series.
Yeah, you always try it for a series. And I mean, you could put Laurie Metcalf in as the mother as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that would be entirely doable.
Depends how much he charges.
Yeah. But I mean, she won an Emmy nomination for playing the character last season. So, you know, that at least would give it some continuity to the current show as well. So... maybe
could be jumping a shark.
Who knows? It's very difficult to tell with these sort of things.
I'm fairly certain that the first episode will get an awful lot of viewers.
Yes, it's. But then, so did Joey. So.
Yeah, I was one of them.
Yeah, and you went, this is what awful. Yes. Matt LeBlanc, much better off presenting Top Gear and doing episodes, I think.
Yeah.
So, yes, Big Bang Theory currently airing its 10th season on Wednesday nights at 8:30 on E4. If you are a Big Bang fan, you probably already know that anyway. That is until E4 decide that they're halfway through the season, going to stop it, play something else for like 3 months and then put it back on again, which is what they tend to do.
Spin the scheduling bottle.
Yes, spin the scheduling bottle. Yeah, or the drunken throwing darts at a wall, whichever they happen to have picked as their way to choose how they schedule things on that channel. So, yes, that's back. Next up, we have The Interview. So the interview this week is with the costume designer Joe Cora. Joe has had a long career working as a costume designer for lots of film and TV shows. She's currently the person behind the amazing outfits on Netflix's hit show Marco Polo,
which is I really love.
Yes,
and actually, amazing isn't doing enough justice to how that looks.
Yeah,
that everything about that series looks amazing.
Yes,
absolutely amazing.
It is brilliantly put together, and the costumes are absolutely outstanding. She talks about recreating costumes from the 1200s and 1300s, but having to make them kind of different and unique while still fitting into that sort of style, all the creative research process, and the literally thousands and thousands of costumes that they have to deal with on that show. Once you include all the extras and all the other bits and pieces, there are like tens of thousands of
and
costumes
that's
on that show.
The joy of high definition, isn't it? You know, and even the extras are in such sharp detail.
Yeah.
They have to be convincing.
Yeah. So she's a really interesting person to talk to. It's about a half hour chat, and we'll see you afterwards with some air date stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, David.
Thank you for coming on and talking to me today.
You're welcome.
You get a job like Marco Polo.
Yes.
I mean, for a costume designer, that must be a completely dream job, given the amount of costumes and variety you have with something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. The wonderful thing about Marco Polo is the project is so large and so diverse. So for somebody like myself, the costume designer, and indeed set designer, any member of the crew, really, it's quite an incredible opportunity because it is creating an entire world, a full society, which encompasses the rich, the poor, Mongolians, Chinese. And indeed, you know, the Khan was the most powerful leader of the world at that time.
Yeah.
He also was involved and ran the Silk Road, which is not actually a single road. It's not like 125 or anything. The Silk Road is actually a concept. It was a concept of movement of goods, even ideas, philosophies around the Khan's empire. As a costume designer, of course, I honed in more on the goods aspect of it as far as the movement and import-export of precious stones, semi-precious stones, fabrics like the beautiful silks. So that's where my particular position as a costume designer was very heavily influenced.
Yeah.
And indeed was able to design for such wonderful diversity of looks of people from different cultures. It was quite fascinating, really an amazing, fascinating project to be able to work on.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, there's lots of different cultures. You've got these incredible kind of the fabrics of that kind of area. And, yes. You know, obviously, it's a historical show, obviously. So what sort of research do you do to make it historically accurate?
Well, it's very difficult because obviously in that particular period, there were no cameras or anything. So I couldn't, you know, I wasn't able to go into it with any photographic evidence. I went to Mongolia. I worked with historians in Mongolia and the museums there, the books there. It was very good to spend time there and be with people who were able to tell me stories and to get a feel of their history, of which, quite rightly, they're very proud of.
Yeah.
And likewise, I spent time in China.
Yeah.
And I was working with a designer in China, and I was very aware to stick to not only the correct look, but the historical background. So much of clothing and costumes from the past, which indeed have led right up to present day, stem from various situations to do with culture, to do with status, to do with the geography, the conditions in which they were living, and the availability of certain fabrics, the availability of certain plants for certain colours, certain dyes, the availability of stones for decoration, for the jewellery. So it was interesting for me to be able to actually spend time in those places and get a feel of where it all originated from.
Yeah.
And why, and hear the stories from families and sit around a table and have dinner with the historians and their families and indeed people I met there and became friends with. That was very helpful. And of course, the museums there and actually seeing original pieces of costumes that have been found in excavations or had been passed down through the families.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, that was, I was very fortunate to be able to do that.
In terms of recreating historical costumes like that, where do you find material? And you know, was that sort of, did you pick stuff up while you were out there? And were you using any sort of techniques picked up as well while you were out there?
Yeah, I mean, the whole process of being on a show like this is that it is fundamentally rooted in history.
Yeah.
So even though in season two, I really stylized it more, slightly contemporized it, it was very important that it was rooted in history in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
That's the big difference between season one and season two of the look.
Yeah.
But so getting hold of these fabrics, yes, myself and Stefan, my assistant designer, we traveled the world, literally, buying fabrics, sourcing antique pieces. Yeah, we shopped in China, Mongolia, all over Europe, Thailand. Our fabrics came in from India. Obviously, we were filming in Malaysia. We bought in Malaysia, went over the border into Singapore. My leathers, I sourced a lot from Italy, the beautiful soft leathers of Italy. But again, in China, in Budapest, in Hungary, where indeed we prepped and started shooting season two. So I started my workroom there. But yes, shopped literally around the world.
Wow.
To find contemporary pieces that could pass as antique or indeed original antiques. Also, we set up our own screen printing rooms. And my incredibly talented team, we were screen printing. Tyrone, who is in charge of a lot of the armor, was hand making the leather armor for me. And then I had wonderful people making all my accessories. Virag made all my accessories. It was just a wonderful collaboration of very, very talented people who, once I had found the fabrics, together we turned them into the most, hopefully people think, most spectacular costumes, all with these very, very talented artisans around me.
There are some incredible costumes on that show, particularly I noticed the Khan's costume is usually fairly spectacular, as you would expect. Do you have a favourite costume from the show or a favourite character to dress?
You know, that's a really difficult question to answer. And you know, when I hear interviews from people who are being specifically asked a question and they don't want to commit, or I just think, oh, come on, just say it. But now I'm in that position. It is very hard for me to answer that because my costumes are a bit like my children in a way.
Yes.
You know, they were just scraps of material in some market deep in China or in Istanbul, and then they're this magnificent haute couture piece of clothing on an actor's back, you know, a few months later,
yeah,
with a lot of blood, sweat and tears in between, believe me. So it is hard. And also, that's a very hard question to answer on a show that's as diverse as Marco Polo,
yeah,
because the characters are very different. you know, okay, so you can say there's the Khan. Yeah, the Khan is the Khan. There's nobody else like the Khan. And his robes are elaborately embroidered with dragons. That's all historically correct. There is his queen, who is Empress Chabi. There is only Empress Chabi. There's Marco. Marco is Marco. There is Prince Jingim. So everybody has a very, very individual look. So for different reasons, each one truly means a lot to me, because I had to really think about how to make each character look different, i.e. portray the character they are supposed to be in the script. Because at the end of the day, my job, any costume designer's job, is to bring the story to life. From the written word, visually on screen, to help the actors portray the character and to portray the story for the viewers. So my biggest task was always, okay, so we have the Khan, we have the people who live in the palace, they're Mongolian. How do I now make them all look slightly different?
Yeah.
Because to be honest, the true history of it is Mongolians wore robes.
Yeah.
If it was summer, they were cotton robes. If it was winter, they were wool with fur and leather.
Yeah.
Now, for a show, for the interest of the story, for the characterization of the story, of the actors, for the visual pleasure, for the viewer, one has to stylize that a bit. It's not a documentary. We're not shooting a documentary. although it is, you know, based on history, it isn't a documentary. It is meant to be an interesting TV show. And so from that aspect, I truly cannot say. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
They are all so different. And I know you've only watched part of season one. Stay with it.
Yes.
Certainly from episode 5 onwards, you will be completely hooked. You know, season one, it's always hard on a first show. People are finding their feet. The actors are. The costume designer is. Everybody is. We're building on this new format together.
Yeah.
And I think where a show is successful is where they see their maybe slight mistakes, where they feel they can change it to the benefit and do it quite promptly. And I can honestly say halfway through season one, and certainly by the end of season one and season two, season two is a completely different show. I mean, it is quite riveting. It looks stunning. So it was kind of evolving. And there are many characters that I like, truly, different for different reasons. And watch the show all the way through and then you'll understand. You'll see why I'm finding that question very hard to actually answer.
Yeah. I am going to go back for it. I know we spoke just beforehand and you were saying that there is a big shift at season 5 and it sort of wraps up. So, I mean, sorry, not season 5, episode 5.
Episode 5 of season 1.
Yeah, episode 5 of season 1. So yeah. I'm looking for... I will go back and make sure I carry on with it.
Yes,
after that.
I urge anyone to stay with it.
Yeah.
Stay with it. You know, give it a chance. It will be worth it, believe me.
Also, I mean, it is slightly unfair asking you if you have a favourite costume, given that there are so many costumes on the show. How many in total have you made, do you think, at this point?
Well, I think... I think there's about the last of my reckoning with my supervisors, who obviously when we wrap a show, we have to do an inventory. I think when we wrapped season 2, there were about 22,000 individual pieces.
That's insane.
It is a big show. It really is.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, you know, that's encompassing things for the principal actors, for crowd, for everyone. But there's roughly about 22,000 individual pieces hanging up in Malaysia at the moment in the studios.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I can't quite believe it, to be honest.
No, that's a lot of sewing and you know, sticking things together, really.
Yes, and I really would like to add that you know, as a costume designer, it's fine for me to have a concept and an idea and sketch it.
Yeah.
And indeed then have Ethan, my graphic artist, make it into a wonderful graphic image for the producers to look at, for studio execs to okay and allow me to proceed. That's the not the easy part, because you're looking at a blank piece of paper for quite a while.
Well, yes. Yeah.
And Stefan and I work very closely on filling that blank piece of paper. But after that, it's my team. It's my team who bring that to life for me. And that's where the real talent is. As I said, the leather workers, everybody. I mean, season two particularly, everything was handmade. Season one, a lot was made in China, in the factory in China.
Yeah.
We found it hard to kind of control in a way. I prefer to work within an environment where I'm there on the spot, seeing things happen and be part of the process of seeing it from start to finish. And that was very much in season two. The workroom was set up in Budapest. I had some of the best artisans from around the world, literally flown in from South Africa, Australia, New Zealand. Budapest itself had brilliant leather workers. Also, just general talent from around the world. China as well. Some of my tailors were from China to help with the Chinese and Mongolian cuts. And of course, England. So, you know, it's my team who bring it to life for me and work extremely hard and have extreme talent in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, just following on from that, do you think there was ever a particular costume that you had the most trouble with bringing from that concept through to actually delivering what you wanted?
It's interesting you should say that. Yes, I mean, there are a lot of costumes that were technically difficult to make in the time frame we had. My team wouldn't find anything difficult given time. What is a very demanding part of working on a show this size is the time frame, the schedule. I mean, there were two first units running simultaneously, five directors shooting out a sequence, 10 episodes. So on any given day, like day one of principal photography, we were shooting from episodes 2, 1, 4, 7 to be prepared on such a scale.
Yeah.
And that's one issue. The other issue, to answer your question, is yes, there was one character that I struggled with, and that was Prince Gingham. That was the Khan's son.
Right, yeah.
The reason I had major problems with him was my first sketches and my first ideas were too warrior-like. They still wanted to root him as a prince. So then it was, okay, how do I conceptualize, how do I bring to life a prince, but who is a warrior?
Yeah.
Because just even saying those words kind of contradict each other.
Yeah.
And Gingham means gold. So he wore a lot of gold in season one, which the producers and the studio execs wanted to continue that theme through into season two. And so that, to get my head around that, that it was acceptable for everybody, was actually the biggest task.
Yeah.
But once I felt comfortable and everybody felt comfortable with the initial idea, which took time to get to, believe me, I kept starting it and then moving on to another character. Oh, I'll think about Gingham in tomorrow. I'll think about that tomorrow. And I kept pushing Gingham to the back burner, praying that something, I would have an epiphany of some kind. And once that epiphany happened with the great help of Stefan, it kind of rolled. As always, once you have something, an idea that is correct, you suddenly roll with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was that initial concept that took the time for him particularly, that character. All the other characters I was kind of okay with. I had ideas, I had concepts, bouncing off ideas with my team, who are all good designers in their own right. So it was wonderful to actually work as a team and be able to think these things through and conceptualize together.
Yeah.
It was nice to be able to bounce off people, talented people. That was okay. It was Prince Gingham. So apart from the time frame, the actual character was difficult, was Prince Gingham. But I'm very pleased with what we ended up with. And hopefully everybody else would agree with me.
When you get into trouble like that,
yeah.
One of the questions we usually ask people is, what's the best piece of advice somebody has given you? Just, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be directly related to your job. I mean, so, you know, I just wondered if there's anything that anybody's ever said to you that helps you out when it comes to problems like that.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been in the business a long time. So as far as anything within the business, that would be a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the key to anything, I would say, for somebody who's thinking of being a costume designer on movies, or TV shows, it's very different to fashion.
Yeah.
Fashion is something you can do yourself. You literally conceptualize something. I think probably what I do stick to, the golden rule, is I listen to the script.
Yeah.
I'm being guided by words on a page. So it's to not run away too much, not to deviate too much from what the story is trying to tell.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the advice I always stick with myself or try to adhere to. Apart from that, one of my favorite ones is something my father always used to say, which was, be very careful and be very respectful and polite with people on your journey up, because you'll meet them on the journey down.
Yes.
So I'm always hopefully aware of that.
Yes, that's definitely a good motto to work by.
We all have our time.
Yes.
In the spotlight, we all have our time, but there's always new generations coming up behind you.
Yes, very true.
It can be quite short-lived, and I try and live by that as well.
Yeah. No, I think that's very sage advice to live to.
Yes.
What's your background? How did you get into the industry in the first place?
I've been born into it completely. My mother was a dancer.
Right.
She trained as a classical ballet dancer. And then she worked on television as a dancer. My father was a producer and director at the BBC, Cecil Corer. He was one of the producers and directors of Top of the Pops in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
And he did wonderful things like introduce, for the first time, dancers on the show, like Pam's People and the Go-Go's. And he also did hit the first pop video. He was the first person to take an artist away from the studio and do it to soundtrack, which was Donovan at the time, who was number one in the charts.
Wow.
So I was born into it. So I left school and joined the BBC. I followed a family tradition. I stayed in the BBC for a few years and then left when I was 22 and went freelance. I was designing TV shows through the 80s and pop videos.
Oh, wow.
I was doing a lot of pop videos for the likes of Adam Ant, shooting his videos and styling and various other wonderful pop stars. So that was my background and training right from the onset. It's been in my blood, it's in our family's blood, and I just kind of followed suit, really.
Adam Ant is a great person to get hold of when it comes to costume designing as well.
Well, yes, and what was so great about doing his videos was it was of an era where people really did use costume.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, I was lucky enough to be there at the time when so many of the bands did wear costumes in their videos. You know, the videos were shot as a mini movie.
Yeah.
Not so much these days. It comes and goes like everything does. But I'm very proud to have been there in the heyday of it and when it really was a genuine and not anything that's being replicated or tried to be copied like it is sometimes these days.
Yeah, no, that's a great period.
I'm showing my age now, sadly, but there you go.
I remember those videos and know who Adamant is, I'm kind of showing my age as well, so you're fine.
Oh, well, we're in good company, so that's
yes, great. Yeah. So what would you say is the most interesting experience you've had whilst working, given that you've done, you're working on the current show and working with pop bands and stuff?
Gosh, I've been so lucky in my career and have worked with so many wonderful people and travelled so much that you're asking some really tough questions, pinning me down like that. That again is quite a difficult question to answer. Again, I was lucky enough to start my career when there was no mobile phones, no computers. So I was lucky enough to start work with it in its more basic format.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying that is the world is so much smaller now. You know, people can get on flights and fly anywhere around the world. And at certain times of the year, it's very reasonably priced. You know, companies do all in package deals. You know, travel is not just for the rich anymore.
Yeah.
You know, quite rightly. When I was starting out, the world was still very new and very exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm only talking about the 80s, but the difference where we've come from the 80s to present day, not only in technology, but in information, well, because of technology, because of the information. So to answer your question, even though I'm going to take this back a good few years, it was the late 80s when I was flown to Russia to work on a movie called The Russia House with Sean Connery and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
We were the first Western crew ever allowed into Russia.
Oh, wow.
And I was flown in a good 2 or 3 weeks earlier to design and build a costume truck so we could put the principal costumes somewhere while we're filming on the road.
Yeah.
Because there were no costume trucks. I was flown into this completely different world. And I'm lucky. I was well-traveled. My parents were travel-holics.
Yeah.
So I traveled a lot through my childhood and to amazing countries like Africa, South America. So I had traveled. So even for somebody like myself who had traveled, to be the first Western crew allowed into Russia was really exciting.
Yeah.
To be based in Moscow and to do wonderful things like build a truck from scratch, which was a coke. And, you know, with my translator saying to the driver, you know, we need to take the seats out. And he's like, oh, no. So, you know, I took him for a few vodkas and, you know, the seats were out the next day. And, you know, and to be somewhere like that with, again, two wonderful actors, you know, the whole, you know, there was an exciting time. It was an exciting place with an exciting script, with exciting actors. It was, you know, it was a departure for me from my usual pop videos and TV shows in London.
Yeah.
So that has always stayed with me. I think your first of a lot of things stay with you. And that for me, you know, I've had wonderful experiences since, many in wonderful countries with wonderful people. But I think that was so monumental for me. And indeed, I've never been back to Russia. So, you know, that is still very much how I picture it at the time.
Yeah.
Walking across Red Square. One night while I was in Russia, I needed to get some more Russian clothing. Michelle Pfeiffer was playing a Russian. And I realized that I needed to actually get some clothing from Russia for her. So I was taken to a very famous shop on Red Square, or a shopping mall called GUM.
Right.
And it takes up the whole of one side on Red Square. And you go into this vast shopping mall, but not how you would equate a shopping mall with these days. And it was almost being in like Venice. There were these bridges going over, connecting walkway to walkway with these bridges.
Yeah.
All these shops with nothing in them. I mean, there would be a shop with selling bars of soap, but literally 40, 50 of the same bar of soap and a line of people waiting outside.
Yeah.
Just buy a bar of soap, a shop selling boots, all identical boots, and a line of people waiting to get one pair of the identical boot.
That's nuts.
So then I was taken down into a basement and I was led down there by a gentleman with a gun. I was led down into the basement of this place that had many, many cages. And in the cages were men seated with Kalashnikovs. And I was then, you know, given free range to take, you know, the odd coat or the odd piece. Believe me, there wasn't much choice. But it was quite interesting that there was obviously certain stock that was being held in the basement that would be brought up at any given point in time to the various stores above.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting shopping expedition.
That's nuts.
To then finish that, to be taken back up to the main area of the shopping area and left to continue my shopping on my own. When I was shopping there, I suddenly felt the ground shaking, really, really vibrating. And I thought, am I in the middle of an earthquake or something? And this vibration continued. I exited out of the shopping mall. I could never quite work out if it was one big store or many little ones. I never quite fathomed that one out. And I walked out of the back exit rather than front exit to the rear exit, which led me directly onto Red Square, where I realized the shaking was the main parade of their military warfare. They were rehearsing it.
Oh, my God.
So seeing all the tanks, and so the tanks were rolling down along the streets and then turning into Red Square. And they were rehearsing their parade, which I think once a year or something.
Yeah.
And the wonderful march the military do with their with their legs going straight out.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the rockets and all the tanks. It was quite extraordinary. And I went, I was back on set the next day and I was, you know, I hadn't slept that night because I was just so excited by what I'd seen, so exhilarated. And I said to people on the crew, did you see that? Did you see the tanks going through the street? Did you see, you know, the rockets? Did you see? And they're like, no. And I thought, God, did I imagine this? Did I dream this? But no. So, you know, it's experiencing things like that, you know, when you travel.
Yeah.
That make things interesting. But, you know, that certainly for me is that whole movie and the whole situation. And then more recently, I worked with Guillermo del Toro on...
Ooh, yes.
Yes, on Hellboy.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was particularly involved in a scene. We were deep down in a cave for a good 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, shooting a complete city with all his wonderful animatronics.
Yes, I remember that.
Effects. Yeah. And that, again, I couldn't sleep the first 2 or 3 nights, even though we were working, you know, 19, 20 hours a day. I still couldn't close my eyes because I was just so visually stimulated by what I was seeing on set. And also to work with Guillermo, who is a genius.
Yes, he is.
In a different way to most directors I've worked with. So, yeah, you know, different projects for different reasons. But you asked me a question, that those are two particular ones that stand out.
Yes, I think both of those definitely qualify as interesting experiences.
So. And Marco Polo, because it has pushed me to limits as a designer. To be honest, I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
That's exciting in a different way again.
Yes, of course.
I mean, to be honest, something like Marco Polo, a designer would probably have to work on a good, you know, 5 or 10 at least interesting period movies to encompass what I have been lucky enough to encompass in season 1 and 2 of Marco Polo.
Yeah.
It is such a diverse series.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint as well, it's been wonderful opportunity to be on Marco Polo.
Yeah. As we said right at the beginning, a dream job for a costume designer, it has to be, really.
It is. It seriously, seriously is. Because, you know, on a movie, there's normally one script and it, you know, unless you're working on an amazing fantasy or something like that, you're restricted to telling a story. And a lot of times it's contemporary and people are wearing contemporary clothes, or it's very historical and it has to be historically correct. You know, Marco Polo kind of encompasses both. So I've been very, very lucky, and it has been... It really has pushed myself to the limit.
Yeah.
I truly didn't know I could be pushed too. And so for that, I'm pleasantly surprised. Let's put it that way.
Good. Just got two final questions that we ask everybody, which is because as we cover a lot of TV shows on the website. So are there any TV shows you're watching at the moment?
I religiously watch The Big Bang again and again and again. I actually find it quite relaxing when I've been on set all day.
Yes.
I kind of just open my laptop. I find it funny. I love it. Another one, I do a lot of the shows on Netflix and, you know, I binge watch. For me, it's a form of relaxation. Of course, in the past, I've done Breaking Bad, which I was completely addicted to.
Yeah.
More recently, I've got into American Horror Story.
Ah, yes. Yes.
I find that incredible.
Yeah.
And The Night Manager, I watched that recently.
Yes, great show.
I really enjoyed The Night Manager very much. But yes, I'm on season 3 or something of American Horror Story.
Yes. Yeah. It's a fantastic show. So.
Yes. Yeah, I'm enjoying that at the moment.
And last question. If you had the opportunity to work on any show, past, present or future, which show would it be?
If I had to pick one right at this moment, I probably would say American Horror Story.
Yes.
Because it's, again, diverse, but in a different way to Marco Polo, but diverse. I like the way every season is different.
Yes.
Completely different. So I think probably American Horror Story. Apart from that, I would go back in time as well. I love movies like Some Like It Hot.
Oh, yes.
I think that's a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
Another movie I love and would love to have been involved in because it's iconic is a movie called Harold and Maude.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know the name.
Oh, watch it. See it. It's a dark black comedy.
Yeah.
One book you'll probably never see again. I love classics like Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid. More recently, The Grand Hotel Budapest. I love quirky movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Love movies that just have a twist on a look. Another movie that did that for me very well was The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the big movies, the big stuff, like more recently Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to have done something like that. And, you know, things like the Batmans. I think the trilogies are interesting. And Moulin Rouge.
Well, there is a stage version of Moulin Rouge. It's just been announced today. There's a stage version of Moulin Rouge coming. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And, you know, wonderful period films like Moulin Rouge again or Dangerous Liaisons. And I love Farinelli. A movie called Farinelli about a castrato. That's a beautiful movie. And then, you know, things like Alice in Wonderland with our lovely Johnny Depp, you know.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
There's so many, you know, it's so diverse. So any one of those, I would have been thrilled to.
Yeah.
You know, and the designers have done great jobs on all those projects.
Yeah, yeah. There's some amazing costumes in this. And yeah, I can see the appeal of working on something like American Horror as well, because, you know, there's such a diversity with it. So
yeah, so, you know, there are, as you say, as well as the question asking me what do I like in those or which one, there are actually quite a few from every era.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not just showing my age. I actually do like watching older movies. I actually enjoy, you know, watching movies and not just present day. I actually am interested in the movie history.
Yeah. Yeah.
The history of movies. And I think it's important that one watches things like that as well.
Yeah.
I think it's all part and parcel of being in the business, to be honest. It's there's a wonderful world out there that goes way, way back from silent movies onwards.
Absolutely. Very true. I shall let you get back to your day. And
it's been sunny LA, yes.
Yes, but it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking me.
No problem. And good luck with everything. I will go and now watch some more episodes of Marco Polo.
Yes, please do. Stay with it.
I will. Thanks, Jo.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks, David.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
So that was the interview with Jo Cora. I hope you really enjoyed that. Marco Polo, I think it's on its third season now, something like that. It's
New season has only recently kicked off.
So I think it's on its third season, but it's all available on Netflix. It's a Netflix original show, so well worth going to check out anyway. Next up, we have some air date information. Air dates this week, we kick off with some cancellations. Start off with Longmire, which is procedural sort of cop show set in deepest, darkest Texas, I seem to remember, somewhere like that. That they've announced is ending after its sixth season. That's
Have the devil in it though, does it?
No, you see. Technically a Netflix show, but airs on TCM over here because they had the rights over here before Netflix bought it.
Okay.
It ran on a different network in the US, then Netflix revived it, but then because there was a rights deal still in place for the show, even though Netflix are playing for it internationally or, you know, in the US, there was still a rights deal in place on TCM over here.
Okay.
So it still airs on TCM, even though it's a Netflix show. So that will be ending after its sixth season. DCI Banks, it was announced by RTV, they've cancelled it after five seasons.
Uh-huh.
They've also cancelled the show called Brief Encounters.
I have no idea what that is.
No, neither have I.
Okay.
But that's been cancelled. It only ran for one season. Something to do with Agent Provocateur set in a, I don't know, something to do with that. Anyway, so
I wouldn't know anything about any of those
no,
things.
No, neither would I. So that's been cancelled by after one season on ITV. Also, Conviction, Hayley Atwell's show, technically not cancelled, but didn't get its back nine order. So it's not got its full season order for its first season. And basically any show that doesn't get a full season order won't come back.
Right.
That's just the way it is. Technically, it's not cancelled. They have still got rights to order more episodes of it if they want. But it's unlikely. They've also said they've not released the cast from their contracts yet, but it's almost unheard of for a show that doesn't get the rest of its first season order to come back for a second season.
That's a shame.
So it is. It's a shame because it looked like, I mean, I enjoyed the first episode. Yeah. It looked like it had potential. Hayley Atwell's a great star as well.
Yeah,
I just,
totally.
You know, it's such a shame that she hasn't managed to find a show that which will stick with her. But, you know, if she stops doing this, maybe it will convince them to do a like Agent Carter movie or something.
I hope so.
I think the cast will all be up for it.
Yeah, I thought Agent Carter was amazing. It was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So I know a lot of the cast have said they would definitely be up for it. We interviewed Enver, who I'm not going to even try and pronounce his last name. I can't remember.
They're not good at pronouncing names.
No, terrible at pronouncing names.
We've mangled at least three today.
I know. But yeah, I mean, there was an interview up on, if you go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/geektown, if you go to that, there is an interview with Enver, who played the guy with the walking stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that character. He seems really up for doing more of it. And I think the rest of the cast are the same as well. So, you know, I'm sure they would if the offer came in.
Yeah, I think everything about it was good. I just was so gutted when it was cancelled.
Yeah, it was such a shame. Just wasn't landing a big enough audience. But, you know, if you did it maybe as a limited six-episode run or something, or, you know.
A movie would be good.
Yeah, or a TV movie.
But you're not going to get a movie. You're not going to get a TV movie cancelled the series, are you?
You might do. I don't know. Maybe. Depends if they've still got the sets kicking around, I guess. So there's that. Renewals. You've got Lip Sync Battle UK has got a renewal.
It's
depressingly. And it's got a Christmas special coming in December. So there's a Christmas special coming on Channel 5 and new series of Lip Sync Battle UK coming in January. The Simpsons has been renewed for two more seasons, which are 29 and 30.
That's insane.
Makes it the longest running scripted TV series in US history, apparently.
I know. Do you imagine, though, that they're all quite elderly now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's insane. But yes. So The Simpsons, two more seasons of that. There's a few changes. Shameless USA, we've got an air date for that, which has actually already passed, but it's on Netflix. It's landed, season 5 of Shameless USA landed on Netflix on the 7th of November. It has been airing on More4 in the UK, which is where people have been watching it.
Yeah.
And then it conspicuously disappeared. Season 5 now premiering on Netflix. Channel 4 say that it is coming to More4 at some point. Right. If you haven't got a Netflix account, you're just going to have to wait.
Or just get a Netflix account. Is it,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it will be coming to More4 at some point, if that's where you prefer to watch it. But yeah, Shameless USA is now, season 5 of that is now on Netflix, if you're a fan of that show. Fuller House Season 2, another Netflix show, starts the 9th of December. So there's that. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, as
Great
I was
talking.
Yeah, which is a fantastic book. There is a, it's actually been made by BBC America, this show, and it's coming to Netflix. I was told off for, I don't know how I pronounced it before, but for not pronouncing holistic properly by somebody called Julie, who emailed and said,
sorry, Julie, what? How did you pronounce it then?
I don't know. I can't remember. I'd have to go back and listen. But anyway, holistic. Yes.
Holistic.
Holistic, yes. So I don't know holistic. What I said last time. I must have been reading through it too quick. But anyway, yes. She also mentioned that if we go on talking about something, I need to mention what the show is at the end of us talking about it, if that makes sense. Right, so otherwise they've got to rewind and work out what the show is.
Oh.
So this is, yeah.
You're in trouble.
I know. I was told off. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, that's coming on the 11th of December to Netflix. It is a BBC America show, but Netflix have got the international rights for it.
It's fantastic. Douglas Adams stuff is just amazing.
Yeah. It's somewhat changed from the Douglas Adams.
What? Now that's going to upset probably as many people.
Yes.
Douglas Adams fans are pretty hardcore.
Yeah. It's Max Landis, son of John Landis, film director, is the person that's responsible for creating this version of it. So I don't know. It's got Elijah Wood in it as one of the characters, not playing Dirk. He's playing the sidekick.
Right.
And I think it's set in America as well. So there are changes.
Okay.
Whether they're enough to put fans completely off, I don't know. But
okay,
we'll see.
We'll find out. Sure, I'll be very vocal about it.
Yes, I'm
sure.
Just
like I was with The Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
No, let's not start that again. So yes, that's coming. Max Landis also remaking American Werewolf in London as well, just as a side note. That is his father's movie as well, and his father had rubber stamped it, and he's exec producing it. Okay. So guys from The Walking Dead, the Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead, right, was also involved with that as well.
So that's another iconic movie that
I
know.
So I don't know, we'll see. Anyway, yes, sidetracked. So yes, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, coming to Netflix on the 11th of December.
Holistic.
Also announced, I think it was yesterday, Bones Season 12, the final season of that, is coming to Sky Living on the 16th of January at 9 p.m. So that's the very last outing of that. It's 12 episodes long.
That lost me a few seasons ago.
Yeah, there's only so many inventive ways you can find to kill somebody.
Yeah,
So, but yes, Bones Season 12, 16th of January at 9 p.m. on Sky Living. Next week on TV, there is Dark Heart, which is actually on tonight. That starts on ITV Encore, stars Tom Riley from Da Vinci's Demons. And that's a new two-part crime drama. I have no idea whether it's going to be any good or not, but 9th of November at 9 p.m. on ITV Encore. It's called Dark Heart, that one. So,
give it a try.
Red Oak Season 2, which is the Amazon comedy about a tennis coach in the 80s. I haven't watched any of it, so I have no idea whether it's any good or not. Starts Friday the 11th on Amazon Prime Instant. So that's Red Oak Season 2. Have you seen any of that?
I've seen, I don't know whether it was a trailer. I've seen a bit. Yeah, it's the 80s, man. It's quite cool.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll go try it. And on Tuesday the 15th of November at 10 p.m., you've got the Tonight show starring Jimmy Fallon. That is coming to the E! Channel for the first time. And I know a lot of people have been saying Tonight Show has been running on MSNBC for ages. I believe the version that's on MSNBC is an edited, cut-down version.
Right.
It's like half an hour, not the full hour show.
Okay.
So this is actually supposed to be the full unedited show.
Okay.
Now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know, because my feeling about a lot of this sort of stuff is that all the really interesting stuff ends up on YouTube anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's true. It's like James Corden's what?
James Corden's like James Corden. Anything interesting happens on James Corden, you can just try and watch it on
the show,
YouTube.
There's a lot of stuff that for the UK viewer is a bit lost.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's like, I don't know who that is or I don't... But so, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So, that's tonight's show. That starts on the 15th of November at 10 p.m. on E! So that's everything for this week.
So go back to building my bunker.
Yes, you can go back to building your bunker. Playing your Fallout music.
I do have that.
That soundtrack, yeah. It's a great soundtrack. So, yes, if you want to find us throughout the week, you can go to geektown.co.uk and get all the latest news and air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, you can email us podcast@geektown.co.uk.
Especially Dave's pronunciations.
Yes.
Keep those coming.
No,
he needs to learn.
No more. You can leave a message on the website post. You can find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/Geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/Geektown, or on Instagram at Geektown UK. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.